very happy Father's Day to all of our fathers. We're happy that you're here. And if you're visiting us today or you're a guest here at St. Benedict's, we hope you feel at home. There was a man who struggled for many, many years going to therapy because he believed that there were demons tormenting him and that there were demons precisely under his bed. He suffered greatly, and he went to the therapist week after week, month after month, year after year, and nothing. He spent thousands of dollars on therapy trying to get rid of the demons under his bed. And then one day, he talked to his landscaper, the gentleman that came and cut the lawn and made it all prettier on his property, and he began to tell him about his torment and his problem with the demons. And the landscaper said, "Listen, for 40 bucks, I can solve your problem." He said, "40 bucks? I spent thousands of dollars on therapy. What can you possibly do?" He said, no, I'm not going to do it. "You're going to call this gentleman. He's a friend of mine. He's a handyman, and he's going to take care of you." Sure enough, a week passed, no torment, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, a month, nothing. The guy was at peace for the first time. He could sleep the whole night. He felt great. So he goes back to the therapist and says to the therapist, "Doctor, I'm sorry, but you owe me my money back." He says, "What? So after all these years, I've been in therapy here with you with this torment of the demons, and at no point have I felt any relief until I hired this maintenance person, and for $40, he resolved the whole problem." "Well, you got to tell me, what did he do?" "Well, he just cut the four legs off of my bed, and now there's no space for demons." Now, I know that we joke around about demons and evil, and as a matter of fact, many times we think of it as fictional. But I've got to tell you, evil is real. And Jesus speaks in today's gospel of his confrontation with evil, real evil. It isn't fictional. It isn't some kind of psychological problem. It's truly a confrontation between spiritual forces, good and evil. And when you think about it, the key is in the answer to the question, "What is your name?" Did you see the answer? What is your name? And the response Jesus gets is legion. Now you have to understand, in the time of Jesus, the Roman military was set up by legions, those ancient militaries. And this is about 5,000 soldiers. No small number. So what the demon came back with, or the possessed man came back with in the answer, was, "There are many of us. It's a lot." So Jesus understood that he was dealing with multiple demons, with very, very strong evil. Now my purpose in this homily in this sermon is not to scare you. My purpose is for us to reflect on what the Word of God is telling us today. Because here we are in 2016, and there are many demons in our society, many demons in our world, many manifestations of evil. And I just want to talk about three of them for you, three of them that we need to be aware of. Because just in this past week, our nation has been deeply wounded by the horrible, atrocious criminal actions of one person filled with hatred in Orlando. One person who manifested the kind of evil and demons that are present in our society today. And the first demon I want us to think about is violence. Do you remember some years back how people would talk about a shooting at a school or a shooting out at a public restaurant or park, and it seemed like an isolated incident? Do you remember that? Oh, it happened here. Oh, wow. It happened there. Wow. But it's becoming more and more common. More and more common to hear about these shootings. Motivated for a variety of reasons, but at the end of the day, it's violence. And violence is one of the greatest evils in our time. One of the greatest campaigns of the Episcopal Church in the last several years has been the gun violence and gun control campaign. Our bishops have gathered to get together to kind of look at this and what can we do as a society. And it's interesting because just a few days ago, they had this thing where everybody was supposed to wear orange. And when I went to my, you know, dresser, I realized I don't own anything that is orange. Most of my clothes is black, you know, or white or whatever, you know, priestly stuff. But I don't have anything orange. And so I thought, what am I going to do? But this orange campaign is about gun control and gun violence. And don't let people lie to you, because there's a lot of propaganda out there. People think that anybody who's talking about gun control is trying to take away guns from people. That's not what the bishops are asking for. That's not what the church is asking for. What the church is asking for is that we don't have the kinds of weapons in people's hands that belong in the military. You know, these automatic weapons, these machine guns, if you will. You know, if you need to go hunting, just get a rifle and learn to aim. You know, you don't need one that shoots 45 bullets in 30 seconds and can kill half the forest. What you need is, you know, what you need to go hunting. Or whatever other reason people need guns today. But these types of guns that should be really used in very, very limited circumstances by the military, perhaps in war or something like that, should not be in the hands of everyone. And that's what the bishops are talking about when they talk about gun control and gun violence. So violence is one of the greatest evils. But this week, that evil was connected with another one that I want to talk to you about. The second demon in our world today is bigotry. Listen to me, bigotry. Racism, discrimination, prejudice. And this week, the LGBT community was targeted because of the ignorance and hatred of a person that for some reason thought that he had the freedom to play God. And I say play God because he decided that he was the judge. Only God can judge human beings. Let God be God. So many people are trying to impose their own ideas, their own way of thinking, to justify their own anger, to justify their own bigotry. Today, in the letter of Paul to the Galatians, we heard Paul say, "You are all children of God." And listen to what else he said. "There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male or female, for all are one in Christ Jesus." What does that mean to us? All are one. What does it mean to us that we are all children of God? It means that you and I cannot decide who is in or who is out. God loves us all equally. It doesn't matter what the color of your skin is. It doesn't matter what your accent is like. It doesn't matter if you are gay or straight. Your sexual orientation doesn't let you be in or out of God's world. God embraces all of us as his children. And that's the kind of love the gospel speaks about. And it may be hard for us to embrace, but you know what? The truth is, that's the gospel truth. The only commandment Jesus gave you and I is love one another. He didn't say judge one another. We are not the police people of who gets in and who gets out. Thanks be to God. You know, yesterday my wife and I were at a charity event, and there was a young gentleman walking around with a thing that said judge so-and-so, a young judge. And he was, you know, he gave me his business card, and he had these little things. I guess he must be up for re-election or something. And it said judge so-and-so. So if you see me on some propaganda of someone trying to get re-elected, believe me, it's just because they take pictures of you. I didn't sign up for it. But judge so-and-so. And I thought, you know, he said to me, I'm a criminal judge. I said, whoa, wow, that sounds heavy, right? Then I read his card. It sounded even heavier. It had all these letters on it. And I kept saying, gosh, it must be tough to play judge or to be judge. It must be tough. Because from a spiritual perspective, only God can judge the human heart. Only God can judge our actions. Only God can say who's in and who's out. Bigotry is a horrible demon in our society, and it's manifested in so many different ways. You know, I grew up in Miami, and I've been in South Florida since I was 7 years old, and I can tell you that I've talked to lots of people where I served for 10 years on Miami Beach that used to still remember the signs that people used to put on certain businesses, and they used to say like this. They say, no dogs, no Jews, no Cubans. Yep, right on the front of their business. That wasn't too long ago. No dogs, no Jews, no Cubans. Now imagine on Miami Beach, there's a significant number of Jewish Cubans. We call them Jubans. So they fit into two of those categories. But to think that human beings could be that way, to think that we could decide who's in, who's out, is a problem. And what happened this week in Orlando is not just a crime of hatred, it's a crime of bigotry. And until we get rid of that kind of bigotry toward any specific group, anytime you hear people say, listen to me carefully, anytime you hear someone say, those people, be careful. Be careful, they do it to me all the time. They do it in my face, in the priest's face. Father, because you know, those people. And when I hear that, I think, oh no, I'm about to hear some bigotry. I'm about to hear some prejudice. I'm about to hear some discrimination. And they mean well. The people that are doing it mean well, but they don't know that they're bigots. We cannot exclude any member of the human family because of our ignorance or because of our prejudice. We cannot do that. That's a sin. It is a sin. The only commandment Jesus gave us, love one another. Leave the rest up to God. If you're confused about something or you don't know about something, you know what? Try to figure it out. But don't spread your ignorance. What happened this week is a wake-up call to all of us. It's a wake-up call. Because we need to find out what it is that is keeping us from loving the way that God has taught us to love everyone. What is keeping us from that? Something is, and it's evil. The demon of violence, the demon of bigotry, they're real in our world. The third demon I want to talk to you about is even deeper, and it may even be the root of all of this. It's the demon of arrogance. The kind of arrogance that we're seeing in our political discourse today, where I have the truth, I have the solutions, I know what needs to be done. You know what? Only Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Everyone, the rest of us, we're trying to figure it out. If you claim to have all the answers about something, you know what? Go get checked. Go get checked. Because in almost every psychiatric unit, there is at least one person saying that they are Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, I've met them. I've talked to a few of them. I've met like 20 Jesuses in my lifetime. Honestly, and I know that Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father, because we say that in the creed, right? He's not walking around here, and he's not in a mental institution. But there's a lot of people who believe they have the truth. They have the truth about everything. Only their church is right. Only their belief system is right. Only their race is right. Only their way of thinking is right. All of that is arrogance. And it goes against the gospel of Jesus. There's too many pulpits, preaching that kind of stuff. Only Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And we should not allow any form of arrogance to rule in our lives, because ultimately, arrogance is the worst form of pride. There's a positive pride, you know, to be proud about what you do, to be proud about your accomplishments. That's a good pride. But I'm talking about the bad one. I'm talking about the kind that believes only I know what is true, only I know what is right, not just for me, but for others. And that type of arrogance divides families. It hurts people deeply, because that kind of arrogance says, I'm the judge, and I'm the one that possesses the truth about everything and everyone. And that's an evil in our world. Believe me, it's one of the worst demons that is manifested in today's society. We, as followers of Jesus, must seek to make the world peaceful, more loving, more faithful. You remember the words of the prayer of St. Francis, right? Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is darkness, light. That's what we're called to. And I got to tell you something. Our homework assignment is so great. It's so, so great that we don't have time for anything else. I think it was the great Mother Teresa of Calcutta that said that if you spend all your time judging people, you have no time to love them. If we want to be followers of Jesus, we got to get rid of all those barriers, prejudices, bigotry, hatreds. Those things do not come from God. And regardless of your faith tradition, every faith tradition that comes from Abraham, that means Jews, Christians, and Muslims, by the way, all of us believe in that kind of peace. Don't believe what they're saying out there about who Muslims are, because that's also a great bigotry taking place in our world today. The faith of Islam and the Muslim people is not a faith of violence. Those are radical folks motivated by other things, but it's not motivated by faith. And it's not any form of God they're following. You cannot follow God and live in hatred. You cannot follow God and live in bigotry. You cannot follow God and be an instrument of violence. You cannot follow God and live in arrogance. All of that goes against the core of who we are. I believe that this week, with everything that's happened and everything we're praying about and thinking about, it's a great reality check for us. We've got to go to the core of our being, and we've got to ask ourselves the question, what motivates my life? Why am I here? Why did God put me on this earth? Am I an instrument of love? Am I really an instrument of peace? Am I working for peace? Am I doing everything I can to open my mind and heart to everything God is asking of me? Because ultimately, that's what God wants from us. In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.